And speaking of exploring, do you find that... Yeah, I know. Exotic. Do you find that being at a college where you explored lots of different types of dance, has that sort of benefited you? Or do you think sometimes... Do you ever get the feeling that you'd just like to go off and do your own thing and explore what you want to practice? Or do you, in the back of your head, you always know, yeah, this is probably better for me than me just going off and running about?
Yes to everything.
Yes to all of the above.
Yes, all of the above, please. I think it's been a brilliant experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Yeah, I think it's definitely been a brilliant experience for me. In the sense that I've gotten to try out so many things. I can see in myself, I'm definitely not the best.
But I can see how far...
Yeah, but even so. But even with that, I can see how far I've improved. Because...
Oh, I definitely think we can see improvement in you from when you started. When I met you to...
the difference,
to what you're producing now.
In like the different dynamic qualities that you get with it. I'm exploring everything so much more heavily now, and I've got such a better sort of knowledge of everything.
Yeah. I wouldn't say necessarily that there's been a massive, massive increase in your performance in a contemporary standard, but what's definitely been noticeable is you have an increased ability to choreograph and create your own work, I think, and to participate in different styles as well. There's nothing at the space holds back people from joining other dance styles.
I'm ready to do whatever now.
Yeah.
You chuck a new task at me, I will hit it as hard as I can.
Having said that, do you ever work with anyone or sort of be involved in a piece and just think, you know, no, I don't agree with this, or
definitely, yeah.
And that's okay as well as a performer. I think you're always going to have those things. How do you work through them as a dancer? How do you get around that? Because obviously you have to do it. It's a performer thing.
That's it. I find, because I've had to do it before, you're working with somebody, you're just saying, I just cannot work with you. You're not listening to a word I'm saying here at all.
Mm.
Like, they won't even give you a chance. They just completely fob you off.
Do you think sometimes the dynamic is a bit rough around the edges at college? Because on one hand, it's a very unique environment where we're being treated as individual performers and you're being treated as actual company members. And then the next minute, a teacher might pull rank and suddenly we're back in the student-teacher environment. And how do you sort of, does that take away from your feeling as being a young practitioner and it makes you feel more like a student? Or does that not bother you as much when you're okay with that?
That was a lot.
Yeah, do you want me to do it again slowly?
Yeah, could you?
So, like, how do you feel when a teacher comes at you and it's, you know, well, I'm the teacher, so you do what I say, and you're like, well, actually, you're meant to be treating me as a young practitioner, and my opinion should be just as valid as your opinion, or is that not?
Honestly, it depends on who it is.
Yeah.
If it's my dance teacher, I'm completely like, to be fair,
You take the lead.
You know what you're doing. I'm here to learn from you. That's why I'm here.
Oh, no,
and so
I'm
more than happy to do that. But at the same time, she doesn't really pull rank.
Yeah.
Like, for example, simple little things. Every morning she comes in and says, what sort of warm-up do you want to do today? Tiny little things like that make such a big difference.
So you find that actually your dance teacher is giving you a lot of control.
And
I think we've got an acting teacher, Jerry Hardingham, who... He'll give the same... Basically, it's the element of not having to demand something because he has the respect in the room that everyone's going to listen to what he says anyway.
That's it,
and do it.
No, definitely. I think if a teacher can come in with that and just trust, really, that their students...
Well, I think that's the best way that I've ever learned
back.
How to talk to people when you're directing them is from watching him and... learning that actually the best directors have the power in the room without demanding it. You have it already, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
You should admit the confidence.
It should come naturally.
Yeah.
If you're trying to force it, it's not going to work. Your students are just going to look at you, just go away.
There's always, especially with teenage students, there's always going to be a sense of rebelliousness.
Definitely. Yeah.
Mm. So if we take this back a little bit, and it's going to be a far jump back, you were talking about Tanz Theatre, and one of the things you mentioned was musicality.
Mm.
And I thought maybe we'd talk for a minute about how it's been working with Alex Edwards on this new project, and with him being able to craft the music alongside you. And actually, I think it might be the first time where you've had sort of custom music for a dance. Is that right? Like,
it is.
Yeah.
It is the first time I've had that.
You've had contact with the choreographer and the musician.
I can say directly what I want for it and what I think would work.
Hmm.
But also, I feel like I really haven't explored that as much as I could be right now, because unfortunately, I'm not able to be choreographing at the moment.
But it could
myself.
Be something that you explore. So,
but I'm really planning on just getting in a room with him as a composer, being, these are the movements, here's a little piece of music, let's see what we can do to tie that in together and see if he can put anything into it, see if I can bring out any movements to go with it and just sort of feed off of each other's energy with it.
I think the beautiful thing is we could have it all written and planned out on paper, and then you could come along and say, oh, I'd actually like to do something slightly different, and Alex Edwards could go away and change the music ever so slightly. We could re-record the whole thing and just, you know, overlay it, and that would, and no one would know the difference. I mean, apart from all of us who would have worked our ass off all day. And
Robin isn't happy.
Yeah, because Robin isn't happy. And you mentioned that you can't choreograph, but for those who don't know you or can't see you right now, you're on a crutch at the moment, aren't you?
I am.
And
it
you're a little bit injured.
I hate it.
It's either a ligament issue or a tendon issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's either severe tendonitis or I have torn a ligament.
Which is... both of those are nasty.
It's bad. I mean, it's not the worst. No. I haven't broken anything, you know. I haven't had a bit of cartilage just drift off into my body.
But the question
is not great.
Brings into my mind is how, especially as such a young dancer, and in an industry where... I'll break this down into two questions later on, but in an industry where dancers expend most of their time as performers by the time they're 30, how do you feel about injuring yourself? And is it so much of a physical obstacle to overcome, or is it sometimes more of a mental obstacle to get through the fact that you've been injured again and you've got to get back up on the horse and sort of go at it?
It's terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. For both of those reasons, because physically I've got to go to physiotherapy every week. I might have to have steroid injections, which is just, can't cope with that.
That's fair enough.
I don't know how long it's going to take to heal currently, because he can't diagnose a problem because it's too swollen, and I can't even straighten my leg when I can usually do the split. So from a physical point of view, from going, oh yeah, I'll just chuck my leg over my head, not a problem, to I can't stand up with my leg straight.
And I'll divulge and then come back to you talking about the second thing. Do you think physically, is that the time where you have to really work as a company and go, I need to rely on you?
Definitely.
And you have to
trust me and help me. I'm really bad at it.
But at least you know in your head that's what
I
you
know
have to do.
That's what I need to do. And I really need to gather my resources, which I have plenty of, because I've got this amazing, amazing cast of dancers that are just waiting to work and do something. And I also have then this amazing team of creatives who are just so eager and ready to do whatever they can to get this going, to keep things moving, just to work and create. And I think for me, as somebody who's finally gone and taken the lead as a choreographer, to then have to go, actually, I need to step back for a bit, I need some help with this, is a really, really challenging thing.
Oh, I can understand that being difficult, you know. And then I'll move you back on to the second bit of the question, which was about mental sort of obstacles you have to overcome when you get injured. Is it more the fear of the unknown? You know, I don't know how long I'm going to be out of action. Or is it also, well, you know, this is my body telling me I'm wearing thin. Like, you know, I'm definitely wearing through me at a rate that normal people wouldn't be.
Both again.
Yeah, both
honestly,
again.
Honestly, because I'm somebody who's had a lot of injuries and I've got to go to the doctors to have blood tests and stuff as to see if there is an actual problem with this, because it's freaky. Yeah. There's always some sort of pain going on, but it's trying to go, is this part of being a dancer?
Or is this me? Yeah.
Is this it? Am I gonna get to a uni audition and have them sit me down in a physio exam and go, look, we can't take you on because in 2 years you're not going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
That's a real possibility, and that is absolutely terrifying, especially for right now going, if that is the case, I can't even make the most of my time as a dancer right now because I can barely walk.
Yeah. Like... I sort of touched on it with a bit of the question, but it's a very chunky question.
Yeah, yeah.
There's sort of this sense in dance, I think, a lot of the time. It's probably not true in every dance form or in every circumstance, but I think sometimes there's this sense of foreboding of, like, time's running out, we're on a timer, you know? Because you only work until you're a certain age, don't you, in dance typically.
That's it. You're lucky if you've got your career as a performer going on until you're 30.
And then once you've got that career, you can normally get a bit of a choreographer job out of it, kind of.
Yeah,
but...
and then hopefully you can go into teaching or choreographing or whatever. But I don't really care about that currently.
Yeah.
I just want to dance. I just want to perform. That's it for me. I just want to dance.
Yeah.
And to think, I'm running out of time.
I'm having less and less
time to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But that's my career. That's what I've dedicated my life to now.
And do you think it's sort of a case of... I don't think people often understand how big a commitment deciding to become a dancer in a full-time course at the age of 16 is. But that's a big step, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, we've got 15-year-olds who have made that same choice and they've gone into...
I don't know how old
dance.
I was when I decided, actually.
No, but you make that choice that this is, you know, it's a short-term industry and
this
you
is
still
it.
Choose
I'm not
to
going
go into
back.
It. Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go back and go, oh, actually, I could just go over to Hewish Episcopi for a bit and get some A-levels and then go off and get a career doing medical stuff. No, I don't care.
Not,
I could
not
do
to
that.
Say that medical stuff is not a large portion of study time, because I think that is one of the harder degrees to do.
Yeah, I picked a really bad example for that, but,
but yeah, I know
ignoring
what you mean.
That, like, this is it. I feel like I can't go back now.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever come across a career with more of a countdown clock on it, to be honest, or more
also,
of a...
as well as that, actually stopping is so difficult because... I actually find it's almost addictive.
Yeah.
The act of performing, the act of being on stage and performing to an audience, but then that combined with the sheer amount of adrenaline and endorphins you get from exercising, from doing dance, and the emotions from it of channeling this art that's coming from a really, really emotional point within you.
Yeah.
It's such a high, like, you can't imagine, and so... then stopping doing that, I don't think I could. I really don't think I could go back and do something else now after experiencing it.
So I wonder whether actually the question is not for you, when do you stop or how do you stop? It's how do I carry on, you know? How do I find new ways of dance?
And, that's it.
And I think it's fairly safe to say that dance is one of these things that is always evolving, always adapting.
Ooh,
and always... styles always merge into each other and then merge out of each other, you know, and
dance hasn't stopped since it's begun.
There's purists and there's, you know, abstractists who think everything can be one sort of big thing. And I think, you know, why in a world where we're sort of disregarding a lot of barriers between things, is there some people who want to keep dance as its own, like, this is dance and this is acting and why do you think they want to do that? Like, what benefit would there be to limiting an art form?
It's tradition, isn't it?
Yeah.
it's, I think that's based a lot on what it is, because you do get a lot of people who's like, well, what even is physical theatre? And it's like, they go to a theatre and they'll go watch some Shakespeare, they'll go watch an acting show, and an acting show, that is Shakespeare. It can't be physical theatre. That is
Shakespeare. We are on a stage and they go doing Shakespeare.
Yes, and they go to watch dance, and they go to watch ballet, and even contemporary's cutting it close to physical theatre.
Yes.
Like, that really is a no-go for them.
I can sometimes struggle to see the barrier between the two actually being there, and sometimes I think you've actually smashed through it and you've ended up somewhere in the middle, and that's probably where Tanzvit holds its place.
Yeah, but it's just everything.
I think what we're seeing at the moment is a lot of younger practitioners coming forwards and filling holes within the industry that are bringing this sort of cavalier, you can mix and match styles. Mm. As long as the show is good, who cares what style we're doing? Who cares if we're falling into boundaries, because we can fit our own boundaries.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether you think, as a young creative yourself and someone that's going to come up in the world of dance, that, you know, this is something that's going to be more extreme as more progressive people come up. Do you think we'll have even more people going, yeah, we can grab bits of this, and grab bits of that, and just stick it all together? Or do you think we'll see a return to purism in dance? I mean, where do you think dance is sort of heading when the next generation of creatives get up into dance? Because dance goes through creatives more than other art forms, doesn't it? Oh,
definitely. And you can really, really see the change from, if you look at, I mean, so your typical, like, old school practitioners that you get that you get taught about with Isadora Duncan and Martha Graham and Merce Cunningham and stuff are very, like, very technique heavy, and are very, very, very technique heavy, and all of this. I mean, that is your technique. That is your contemporary technique.
That's where the grounding comes from.
But you go back to that time, and that at that time was
the groundbreaking.
Was the groundbreaking. That's what we'd nowadays go, oh, but is this dance or is this?
Yeah.
That back then was when they'd gone, well, this isn't ballet, but.
But what is it?
Ballet movements.
I mean, I think
that for them is massive, and I think it's going to continue in that way, where for us currently, we're going to keep on seeing these amazing things coming about, and all these barriers just being broken down and new art forms being created.
Yeah.
But then if you go even farther forward into the future, you're going to look back and you go, oh, well, that's that though, isn't it?
And I think
I think it's just a perspective of time, really.
I think this is even more prevalent in dance than a lot of places, because one of the reasons I think that dance may advance a lot more than other styles in terms of artistically metamorphosizing is that you've got this high changeover of people who are in it. If you consider this younger age as an advantage to the art form as a whole rather than a disadvantage to the individual performers, then what you actually have is maybe an actor can work for, 70 years if they're really good?
Mm.
If you've got a really good actor, they can work for 70 years. Well, that style could be in for, 140 years? We had practitioners who have been in for almost, like, thousands of years. Mm. Their styles have been around, and they've started changing now, but you see what I mean? The changeover is not as prevalent as
I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
Because you'll see with dance, for a famous practitioner, they might not stop dancing until they're 50 or 60.
Yeah.
But at that point, they've reached 40 and they're having to pass everything down into creating a school set up for that style.
Yeah.
Which then allows students from there to roll in and go, oh, but what if we did this thing and become a new practitioner? Well, whereas actors, I feel there's a bigger gap in between that.
Yeah, sometimes. I think what happens is sometimes with acting, there's the temptation of, well, that worked, so why should we change it? I think actors sometimes, instead of going, what can we do new? Actors sometimes go, how can we do that better? You know, so it's naturalism, but how can I be even more natural? How can I really convince someone? And that's where honing an art comes in. So, like, there's a lot of times when acting stops.
Oh, I see what you mean.
But they're like, yeah, you know, let's get even better at this. Let's sort of add more. And that's where people like Stanislavski come in. Because you have to remember, Stanislavski's style is everywhere. It's naturalism, right? So,
yeah.
The idea that someone invented naturalism, to me, is astonishing. That it didn't exist.
Someone had to go out of their way to invent a style.
I mean, this one I wrote like 4 and 5 books normal. On being natural.
Yeah.
And the reason
on
for
being
that
human
is because how can I do it so well that you stop thinking of me as a character on stage and start thinking of me as that's me. Like, that is the character. I think method acting stemmed from that, and that's people going, how can I do what he did, but how can I go even more in depth? How can I live as that guy? How can I be that character?
Oh, I completely see what you mean with that. Rather than going out and creating something new altogether, you're going, let me just be the best.
Let me be the best at that. I think actors are often very competitive at going, let me just be the best at that. I think now we're sort of seeing a lot of styles sort of merging together, and that's coming from a lot of scriptwrites that are and playwrights being like, I don't see why I can't bend these rules and put them together, because writers aren't held back like actors are. They don't do let's do the best. Some of them do.
They just go nuts.
They're like, let's be nuts, and then the actors go, well, if the writers are being nuts and the dancers are being nuts, well, I don't see why we shouldn't be nuts as well, and that's where we start to get a big sort of breakdown of sort of characteristics, and we end up with physical theatre and stuff and whole shows where things are happening that we're like, oh, that's not what I expected, but actually I enjoyed that.
Yeah, definitely. Where do you think you find yourself within that?
With me? Well,
yeah, I know you're going more into film now.
I'm a film guy now, so that's interesting.
Get out.
Film's even more so than acting, I think. So basically in film, what I see is two sides. There's a group of people and they're normally younger, and they I probably fall into this category of going, do you know what, where are the boundaries and why can't we push them? I don't know whether it's sort of a lot of older practitioners are labeling that as uneducated or with a lesser grounding in the you know, the classics. But I don't think that's true, because I think a lot of these people are coming out of film schools and they're coming out with vast knowledges of what people have done before them. And I think that's true if you're going to do something new, have a knowledge of what came before you, you know.
Definitely.
Know the classics, know your Hitchcocks, know your Lynches, all of that. But then why stick with what they've done? There's a sense of, I could use that shot that was famous for that person, but boy, I could use it better. And then there's a sense of, but do you know what, I could do better than that, and I could go even more off the wall. Or I think I can go more off the wall. And that's not me speaking personally, because I'm not going to say I can do anything better than Hitchcock, especially not now. But I think that's true. I don't see why there should be any barriers put in place apart from legal ones, you know. That's it. If your art is legal, then carry on and push as many boundaries as you want, because actually
it's what it's there for.
I think the world is becoming increasingly desensitized to a lot of stuff. I'm not saying that in a harsh way. I say that more in the way that a lot of people have seen more stuff now.
We're a lot more open.
Yeah, we've got a greater access to a lot of old stuff. You've got greater influences and you've seen more stuff and you're more open-minded about stuff.
I mean, social media.
Yeah.
Like, so it now opens you up to seeing so much more than people would ever in the past.
So now why can't we push the boundaries even further? Because people are more open-minded now. It's more of an accepting time.
Definitely, yeah.
So,
I agree with that.
So, yeah, that's sort of where I fit in. But there's definitely a sense of people doing both, because some people like film genres. That's another thing, is we don't have styles, we have genres. They're sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
But you can have sub-genres and stuff. It gets a little complicated when you go really deep into it.
I mean, you're supposed to call different like things are different, yeah. like contemporary and ballet, different styles. I always could just call it genres.
It's basically a genre, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't see a difference on paper.
They always get fussy about that. Like, I'm not allowed to say, what is it? I'm not allowed to say routine if I'm talking about contemporary yeah. dance, because if it's a routine, then that's jazz. But if it's a phrase, then that's contemporary.
Oh, right. But yeah, they're the same weird. Thing on paper.
Yeah, I know.
Right. that's interesting. It's like, well, it's not like, but... sometimes people mislabel a track and a pan, and they're different things. But yeah. often, I've done a lot of work with people who don't know a lot about film, and you walk on set and they go, "Let's do a track," and you're like, "That is just any movement shot
pan
to you
everything.
Is a track, or any movement shot is a pan." And
I think we should do a pan here and go into a pan for this one.
It's like any movement of any variety. I know the film word for that. That's a pan or that's a track. And you're like, it's not. But that's okay, because you learn to... I think you'll probably agree with me, because you probably do it in dance as well. You learn to communicate with people who don't know the language of what you're talking about.
Yeah. I always try and explain it a little bit.
Yeah.
I always tend to go, okay, so I'm thinking about an arabesque here, which is this?
Yeah.
And just go and not try and... overcomplicate it. Like,
I think between us, we've started to develop this sort of...
I'm not going to go off talking about like a padishah or something.
No, we've got this sort
that
of...
that I'm going to break it down. But for individual movements, I might just say the fancy word.
Where I've started learning a bit of dance technology,
yeah.
you know, just to... so that we can speak more colloquially with each other. And you've yeah. started picking up some film stuff as
yeah.
well. So I think some of that is, as a young creative, I think you have to be very multi-talented and multi-diverse.
Oh, definitely.
More than you've ever had to be before.
Yes, definitely.
And I think you have to take the opportunity to learn where you can from anyone. Like, if I can spend like 6 weeks with a dancer and just learn by talking to them, then yeah, I'm going to do it. Because why not? You know what? And I might need yeah. it at some point. And it allows me to
Why
do with whatever I want in the future.
Exactly, yeah, no, I agree with that completely.
We talk about, you know, how to push boundaries, and I think a lot of that is, as students, we should collaborate, and we should learn from each other. And in fact, that can be applied to any sector of any
yeah.
job or anything. Learn from everyone around you, man.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Just take little tidbits from everyone.
Oh,
and
completely.
Run with it. Because, you know what, if I learn a little bit of dance from you, but you sit there and you watch me put all yeah. the equipment up and use it, and you
Today
learn...
Today I actually learn what a track is.
Yeah. and we sit and we talk about it, and I'll explain how it works to you.
Yeah.
And then you'll know. Now
yeah.
you know what that is.
And then, so when we're sat together storyboarding, I can go, ooh,
that's where
what
we're going to use
that.
What
if we did this?
Yeah.
yeah.
And yeah, so I think sometimes... it's about colloquializing what we say so that everyone can understand. And sometimes it's about, until we get there, we do that, and then we know each other and we've learned each other's art.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to claim to be any better at it ever than you, because I definitely don't know anything
about dance.
I mean, you feel free. Because I can't dance for stuff. I'm broken. But...
ooh.
But, you know.
I think you're wrong.
And you can sort of come and tell me about film, because I don't mind. Actually, I always enter every scenario with...
I can just about use a phone camera.
Yeah. That's not how I enter every scenario. I enter every scenario with, I'm ready to be proven wrong. You know, come and give me an idea that's better than mine. Or give me another option, and I'm all ears to learn and listen. Because I think that's where the best art comes from, isn't it? You know, we just...
yeah. I go into it a slightly different way from that.
Yeah, what?
But
where do you come from then? That's more interesting. That's what people want to hear about.
I really go into it with, I want to explore. I want to play around with things.
Yeah, I get that.
And so it's, I want to try. I just want to experiment and try lots of new things. And it takes me so long to choreograph, because I'm playing with these different movement sequences over and over and over. And for me especially, I love weird movements. It's part of the reason why I chose shell shock as my stimuli.
I'm totally the same with weird,
yeah,
weird
shooting
stuff in
way
rooms.
Way back to
weird.
That, where you're looking at like contracture of limbs and stuff, and like really convulsive movements, and like just drawing into yourself and looking like spasms almost. You can't control it.
Yeah.
but then turning this really ugly, horror movie-esque movement and just turning it gradually into something amazing. That just hopefully by the end of it takes your breath away.
Yeah.
I love it.
Robin, if I could ask you one final thing, you know.
Go then.
Where do you sort of see yourself going next? I know you've got normally I ask this question, I have not the foggiest, but I know you've got a gap year planned.
I do.
Which could be important for resting your body, but I think you're planning to learn during that.
Yes.
Is that learning Just Dance, or are you going to sort of pick anything up that you can? You take any creative opportunity?
Yeah. I am, because speaking of, I'm doing a film that you've written.
Yeah.
Working with actually. British Film Industries.
Yeah.
And Somerset Films and all that. Which is quite a big project, really.
Yeah, it is.
And so that's acting.
But that's new for you. It's acting, within a dance world.
Yeah. And so I'm acting as a dancer, and that's new for me. But I want to do that because I want to learn how to act, because it will improve my dance. Because for everything, I want to learn a new range of things, but everything's dance-centred. For example, the acting will help me improve my dance. I want to learn my technique better, so that will improve my dance. I want to actually, as weird as it is, to get better with like things like singing.
Yeah.
Because then that really helps with breathing technique, which then brings it back to my dance.
Be a triple threat. Why not? There's no disadvantage to not doing it.
Yeah, that's it. What am I going to lose? I've got a year to learn and ready myself as much as possible in more than just resting and going, oh, well, I need to go to the doctors again.
Oh, no,
I should probably go to work
but
now.
But then after
I've
that
got a year to explore.
After that year, where are you going to end up? Where's the dream?
Oh, dream place would have to be Rumba.
Yeah.
Or if you actually say it like it's spelled, Ramba, but...
But you don't.
For that.
Because you're from Somerset.
That would be the dream, honestly.
That's the dream. And why there?
Oh, everyone's from there. Everyone who I've looked at who has just had this amazing career where they've travelled and they've seen everything and they've just continued learning way into their life and seeing where they are at currently in terms of dance... That's where I want to be.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to a few of them personally. I had a chat with Bradley Waller from Ballet Boys.
Of course you did.
Yeah. Oh, never miss a chance.
Yeah, me and Bradley, we're old friends. We go way back. Quote Jerry.
Honestly, wouldn't be surprised.
No, me neither.
And he was like, and I was saying, well, I've looked at Trinity Laban, I've looked at London Contemporary Dance, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, go here.
Yeah.
That's it. Go here.
There's not an option.
And it's
there.
Just, okay. And it's spend the morning doing some ballet, spend the afternoon doing some contemporary. That's it. All day, every day for...
Are they quite free on artistic expression and exploration? Or is that not something you're particularly concerned about when you're choosing your uni place? Because you think you can do that within this year and also in your own time?
I think my own artistic expression is something I will take with me wherever I go.
Yeah.
And even if somebody tries to shut me down, it's just not going to work. I'm going to go away. I'm going to do my own thing.
You're a bit
yappy.
Whether
that's part of the course or not.
Yeah.
And the main reason I'm looking to there is... For they look at hundreds of different practitioners. They'll
That's
get in
cool,
a
man.
New choreographer every few weeks, every few months, and every few months they're putting on a new show. What did they do recently? They did Killer Pig a while ago, which is incredible, really beautiful, jagged movements, and it's shocking almost, and they're there on stage and they're almost naked. And it's just in your face and it's raw and powerful. And then they'll go to different stuff with ghost dancers when they're covered from head to toe in body paint, looking really skeletal and stuff.
Yeah.
And they've got all these like strands coming off of their limbs. And they're just moving in this seamless, well, ghost-like pattern. And it's incredible. They look at such a beautiful range, and then every day you're doing ballet to help strengthen that technique, which is so, 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 so important for me. And I just personally think that's best.
That's where you want
to
be.
That I can't think of anywhere to go that would be better.
That's fair enough. It's, I think who could blame me?
I'd have to work my ass to get in. That's what I want to do. I want to work hard to get in. Right. And if I do, then wow. And
wow.
Wow. And it opens me up to another whole world of dance.
Oh, yeah.
Of really prestigious, really up there dance with some of the best. Like, if you look at their alumni, wow.
Wow.
Stop it. It's really, really amazing.
I'm sure it is, man. And I wish you all the luck in getting in there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you will. Cheers. I'm determined.
Like, I'm going to have to work like no one else to get in. But
yeah, but you know what? You will. You'll work like Robin Hutchings and not like anyone else. So, you know.
So cheesy.
Well, it's true, though.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. It would be weird if I worked like you.
Yeah, because then that would be bad. Anyway, thank you for coming on today and taking your time to talk to me.
It's all right. No worries, any time, bud.
I thought it was quite good, actually.
Cheers.
You've been listening to Artistic License, a podcast with me, Addison Cove. Next week, I'll be joined by young musician Molly Riley.